mine in my soul, for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows. Ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart, and my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. You may be seated.
Yeah, it's hard to get used to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, isn't it? We might do this again sometime. Who knows? If you're visiting with us today, if you would fill out a visitor's card, we would really appreciate it. We want to welcome you today, but we also want to send you a little card out next week and let you know that we appreciate you being with us, okay? We are happy to say that the temperature got high enough for the ice to totally melt. After Jimmy came back yesterday, we did not get all the ice and snow off yesterday morning. Jimmy came back by himself. I don't know why Angie let him go by himself. But anyway, he got all the ice and stuff off, and we appreciate you, Jimmy, working extra hard. We didn't want anybody to fall like Jimmy did yesterday. And Nick didn't get a video of it either. If we could have gotten a video out of that, Nick could have won $10,000 at least. It is good to be in the house of the Lord and just feel blessed to be in a building with warm air coming around and getting ready to hear some singing and preaching. I wish Nick would just say, "Dan, go ahead and preach. I don't want to preach today." But this was Nick's day to preach, so he's going to be preaching in a minute. I'm anxious to hear his message. Aren't you? Yeah. Now, there will be some, when this warms up and spring comes on, there will be things to do. And so just keep your ears and eyes and everything open and see what we're doing and join in, okay? I'm looking forward to Easter. I've already gotten a bunch of stuff for the Easter, and Amy's getting the music ready, and you have to look ahead. Easter will be at the last of March, and before you know it, last of March will be here. It will. So if our ushers would come forward now, we'll receive an offering, and you can put those visitors' cards in the offering plate. Let's praise the Lord for this. Henry, would you do that? Amen. Thank you. to sing another congregational before Henry sings. Okay, we're going to be singing another congregational here in just a few minutes, and then Henry will come and share some special music with us. Karen and Rick Bailey are with us today. Rick, we're glad to have you, and am I right? Did I say Karen right? Did I say Rick right? See, they laugh at me all the time, Rick, because I can't read. And it is Bailey, right? Yeah, we're glad to have you with us. And we want you to just make yourself at home. We'd love to have you come back and be with us again sometime. Start the new year off right. Okay, Les.
All right, before Henry comes to share a song with us, let's sing another one this morning. 176 in your book, 176. Again, we'll stand and sing this old song together. It's a good one. There was an old account settled long ago, folks.
There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins that unforgave. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long ago, long ago. For he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle and settle long ago.
I was working in town one afternoon, attending some business affairs. I heard a commotion a couple streets over and wondered what was happening there. A young man was running from in that direction and stopped just to catch his breath. Him to please tell me what was the hurry. He smiled up at me and he said, I was trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all.
Blind man,
he saw it all. My friend, if the troubles and burdens you carry are heavy and dragging you down, you've tried everything you can possibly think of, there's no relief to be found. That very same Jesus that altered the future of the blind man, the deaf and the lame, is still reaching out in your hour of trouble. One touch and you're never the same. You'll be trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Oh, ask the blind man, he saw it all. He saw it all.
Speak to your wife about giving false information. You said Henry had two songs ready today. Okay. I won't put her on the spot any more than she already is. Let me say this. I saw something a while ago. It was so sweet. And Donovan's leaving. It's about him, but it's okay. Now, Dominique was sitting here with the kids, and Donovan comes in, and they're sitting right up next to Dominique. And when Donovan came down, the kids moved over so Donovan could sit beside of his wife. I don't know. Does it just touch me? Don't you think it's so touching that kids would think like that? Girls, you're all right in my book. Okay? Well, they knew it's daddy's place to be beside a mama. Right? In this old world we live in, folks, daddy ain't supposed to be beside mama. I mean, it's just the way it's going crazy. That's a family issue. I understand it's a warm thing. And Lene, you need your husband next to you, and the kids moved over. Okay, so you have somebody else who can do that. Okay. I am so glad to be here, and I'm so glad to hear this young man preach a message this morning. Nick, would you come on and preach a message, son?
Good afternoon. Lene don't need me for a thing. I'll never forget when the washing machine tore up at the house, and you know, I was searching, called two options, call my father-in-law or call somebody to come and fix it. Next thing I know, she's laying in the floor working on it, and it's working 1 hour later. So I didn't have to call anybody to do anything about that or anything like that. But it is good to be here this afternoon. I'm certainly glad the church decided to have church. And I didn't get to be here the last Wednesday night we was in because I was sick. So I missed you all. I really did miss you all. So it's good to get to see everybody. And I know we've got some watching online, didn't want to get out today, and that's fine. Completely understandable. So those watching online and those that are here this morning, we want to give each and every one of you all a big welcome. It was a big morning in my house this morning. The girls got to eat cereal and milk for the first time, and the first cereal and milk that they had was Lucky Charms. And they ate all the marshmallows. Went straight to the marshmallows, all right? Ruth chapter 1, if you brought your Bibles with you this morning, Ruth chapter 1. And that Christmas singing with the play parts over here on this stage, God is still feeding me with all that. And he's fed me with more stuff since then through other singing and other preaching. But my heart and mind just cannot leave those play parts and what was said and the words that was used and those songs. So this message has come through that this morning. So I'm very much in need of your prayers. I don't want anything coming from me this morning. I want it all coming through and by God and through and by the Holy Spirit, okay? Because I can assure you, you are not going to get any type of form of blessing from me because I can't give you one, but God surely can. He can give you a great blessing this morning. And it was funny, Dan was talking about kids and how their kids moved over so that they could sit together. And my mind was going back was Dan was talking about kids and church. I got my worst whippings in church when I was growing up. And that was the first thing that went through my mind. And the lady responsible for that sitting right there, my mama. Of course, I was responsible for it. I was the one that got in trouble. But I'd get a whipping. She'd take me out front of the church. I'd be crying before the whipping even started because I knew what was coming. She'd take me outside the front foyer, give me a whipping, bring me back in church. We'd come and sit on the back on this side. And there was these two elderly couple back there, Grady and Sophie Wilson. And they knew I just got beaten. And as soon as I'd go back there and sit on that back pew, they'd give me a toy to play with so that I would feel better about myself. So. No, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. Got to throw mom under the bus every once in a while. Ruth chapter 1, verse 14 this morning. And the Bible says, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her." Let's all bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. God, we thank you for bringing us out to your house of worship this morning. We thank you for laughter, and we thank you, God, that you're a miracle-working God, like that song that Henry sung this morning. Lord God, you've done many great miracles and many mighty works, God, and we just thank you, Lord, for each and every one of them. God, I thank you for every family that's here this morning physically. I thank you for those that's tuned in online this morning, God. I thank you for our church and everybody that makes it up, God. And Lord, we just thank you, God, for keeping them all safe during this winter storm that we've had, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that you just continue to do that. Most of all, Lord, I pray that you be with the lost, God, that something be said or done, Lord, that they come to know you before it's everlasting too late. God, I pray that you be with the Christian this morning that needs to be uplifted, Lord. I pray, God, that you will do that. And God, I pray that you will just remove me totally, Lord, and just give me the liberty and the freedom to preach and proclaim your word this morning, Lord God. And let everything that I say be according to your will. All these things we ask in your son's name. Amen. And remember Lynn as he's recovering from his surgery. And Linda, especially remember Linda. She definitely needs your prayers. And it's good to have Connie back with us this afternoon. We've missed you, Connie. That's an answered prayer sitting right there. You want to say something? Go ahead. Go ahead, bud. Go ahead. Awesome. I don't know about you all, but just those two praise items was worth coming to church at 2 o'clock today. You know, we come at 10 for Sunday school, we get used to it. We come at 11 for worship, we get used to it. We come Sunday night at 6 and get used to it. Wednesday night at 6 and we get used to it, and that's great. But I tell you right now, God's still the same at 2 o'clock on Sunday that he is at 10 o'clock on Sunday. Thank the good Lord for that. Go ahead, honey.
I want to thank this lady right here. When they were taking me up to my room, I had to spend a few hours in a hall. And they were taking me up to my room, and I thought, Patty was on the floor. Well, when I got there, and I was shaking hands with my nurse, and I asked him if Patty was the
Amen. Anybody else? I don't want to interrupt anybody. All right, Ruth chapter 1:14. I'm going to read that again, okay? And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her. And God laid two words on my heart and on my mind this morning, or this afternoon, and that is staying power. Staying power. That's what God has laid upon my heart and upon my mind. And if you look at verse 14, there's a key word that God really left an impression upon me on, and that word was clave. Ruth clave unto her. Now, what does clave mean? Clave means to associate with. Clave means to attach to. Clave means to cling to. It means to combine. And it means to hold. So another way that you could say clave is staying power. Staying in close association with somebody. Being attached with somebody. Clinging to somebody. Combining with somebody else. Or holding on to an individual. And we all know the story of Ruth and Naomi this morning. And we know that Ruth was claving on or holding on to Naomi. She had a staying power when it came to Naomi. And then I begin to think about us as Christians this morning. And you know, we're living in a day and a time, and we're living in a cultural society, and we are living in a generation where there's a whole lot of quitting going on. There's a whole lot of giving up going on. You ain't getting enough playing time, just quit. You ain't getting enough playing time, just quit and just transfer. You're not making it, doing very well at your job, just quit. You're not doing very well in school, just drop out. Don't want to accept the responsibility of being a parent, just quit. Yeah. Let the school system raise them. Right. Don't want to take responsibility for being a father. Don't want to take responsibility for being a mother. Don't want to take responsibility for being a husband. Don't want to take responsibility for being a wife or anything like that. And I'm not here to knock anybody or anything like that. But if you're paying attention to anything that's going on in the world today, we're in a day and a time that the world is being flooded with quitters. No more staying power anymore. Now, it's not only in those situations that I just mentioned, but we're also to a place and point in time this morning where a lot of the church world doesn't have staying power anymore either.
That's right.
Amen. COVID came, knocked people out. Some of them ain't been back since. Don't say this to be mean in any shape, form, or fashion. And if you're somebody that kind of slacked when COVID came and you're getting back in, praise the good Lord for it. God loves you and I love you for it. But for people that's not returned since COVID came and COVID's gone, the staying power's gone. Where are they at? And I don't mean that mean. I'm saying that out of love this morning. I'm saying that out of concern this morning. You know, the world needs a lot of things this morning. The world needs a lot of remedies. The world needs a lot of help. And we could point to all kinds of different directions and things like that. And you can research all this data and all this stuff. But I'll tell you right now, the best answer is in God's holy word.
Amen.
And I tell you what I find in God's holy word. People that don't quit. People that don't give up. People that press towards the mark and towards the prize of the high calling of God. People that fight the good fight. People that keep the faith. People that keep pressing on. People that carry their cross. You know what? That cross that you're carrying, one day you're going to trade it in for a crown. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I can assure you right now, if you quit, you're not going to get that crown. If you quit, you're not going to have that joy, and you're not going to have that happiness, and you're going to lose that purpose that God has for you in your life and in your things like that. So what God wants me to do this morning is just to encourage you to keep on keeping on. Keep pressing on. Have some good old-fashioned staying power. So if you're reading verse 1 and verse 2 right here, as soon as it gets tough, Naomi's husband jumps ship. Has no staying power. Look at Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now it came to pass in these days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. So Bethlehem is experiencing a famine. So Naomi's husband decides, Naomi, let's leave. Let's take our two sons and let's go to the country of Moab. Now the reason that that is a big problem is that Moab was a great enemy of the Israelites. So in other words, they were leaving Bethlehem, going into enemy territory where that there was food, and thinking that they were going to be all right. Listen, I would rather be in a famine with where God is than be living high on the hog and be living in sin. Amen. Now, when you're living with God, you're really not living in a famine or anything like that. But physically, Bethlehem was going through a famine right here, and it was the Israelites' fault. It wasn't God's fault. It was the Israelites' fault. I can assure you this morning, if you're going through a spiritual famine, it is not God's fault. The fault lies with you. But are you not thankful that God is a gracious God and that God is a loving God and He can pluck you up out of that famine, hallelujah, and renew your spirit this morning?
Amen.
Thank the good Lord for it. So Naomi's husband says, we're leaving, we're getting out of here. Verse 2, in the name of the man... was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. So not only did they go to the country of Moab, not only did they go to where the enemy's camp was, but the Bible says that they continued. In other words, they stayed there. They left Bethlehem to go and live out into the world, to go and live in the country of the Moabites. And I wrote this down here because I didn't want to forget what God had laid upon my heart and upon my mind. But the opposite of having staying power is conforming.
Yeah.
Naomi's husband was conforming. He was leaving Bethlehem. He was leaving his tradition. He was leaving his customs. He was leaving his faith. And he was going to the land of the Moabites, a known enemy of God, a known people that worship many gods and false gods and things like that. Knowing that, he left everything that he had in Bethlehem to go back into the world. In other words, he conformed to the world by going to live with the Moabites. Now, we're living in a day and a time this morning where, you know, that's getting pushed real heavy. That's getting pushed real strong. Well, why don't Christians just conform to this world? Why don't the church just conform to this world? And you'll see churches that maybe used to run 200 or 150. They may be down in the 50s and 60s now because of circumstances that have happened in the world and things like that. And if you do enough reading and you do enough research, you will know and you will understand this morning that church attendance is on the decline. And the reason that church attendance is on the decline this morning is there's a lot of conforming going on. There ain't no staying power anymore. That's just the truth this morning. I'm just telling you the truth this morning, okay? But I began to think about that this morning. And I've said this before. I've heard Dan say it, and I'm not ashamed to say it again. If Liberty Fellowship Church had to conform to this world to get 100 more people in, it ain't worth it, folks.
Amen.
If you've got to conform your lifestyle so that you can have more friends, folks, it ain't worth it. If you've got to conform your beliefs, if you've got to reject God and you've got to reject God's holy word, if you've got to quit praying just so that you can fit in and go to all the parties that you shouldn't be going to and things like that and associating yourself with people you shouldn't be associating yourself with and giving in to this old sin-cursed world and all this stuff, if you've got to conform to gain more people in this world, you will lose everything this morning. You may gain a friend here and there. You may gain a bigger your church. You may gain popularity. You may gain success. You may gain more playing time. You may gain a higher place in your job. But in reality, you didn't have staying power when it come to you and your relationship with God and your church and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you left everything just so you could have more on this side. Bless God, I'll tell you right now, this world cannot compare to what God has laid in store for each and every one of us. We think of gold as the most precious thing in the world, and it is. Gold is a very precious thing, but you know what? That's what we're going to be walking on in heaven. One of the most precious things in the world is gold. But bless God, that's what we're going to be walking on in heaven. You know what the most precious thing in heaven is going to be? The Lamb of God. Hallelujah. You know what the most precious thing in heaven is going to be? It's going to be God this morning. You know what the most precious thing in heaven is going to be? It's going to be you and I praising and worshiping the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Give me that any day over what this world has to offer. Because what this world has to offer ain't going to last forever. Naomi's husband and them left. They conformed to the world. Now, if you continue with this, read verses 3 through 5, you'll find that conforming leads to tragedy. The Bible tells us, be you not conformed, but be ye transformed. Listen, if you conform to this old world this morning, it's going to lead to tragedy. I know I keep saying morning and it ain't morning. You're just going to have to forgive me for that, okay? It feels like morning to me. I don't know any better. If we conform to this old world, we're going to experience tragedy. What happens? We'll read verses 3 through 5. This is what happens as a result of Elimelech's decisions. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. He's going to a land where there's no famine. He's going to a land where there's plenty of food. But he died? Wouldn't he have died if he would have stayed in Bethlehem? We'll get to that in a minute. Let's continue in verse 4. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. So they stay there for about 10 years. And then we get to verse 5. And then tragedy strikes Naomi's life again. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So Naomi, within a 10-year span, her husband passes away, and her two sons pass away. I'm not even going to pretend to imagine to know what that's like because I have no idea. My wife's sitting right there. My two girls are sitting right there. But I know we've got people in this church that's went through the loss of a child. I know we've got people in this church that's went through the loss of a wife. And my prayer goes to each and every one of you guys. I'm not going to stand up here and act like I know what that'd be like because I don't have any idea. But I can't imagine that Naomi was hurt. Naomi was experiencing some tragedy because of the decisions that her husband made. Can I tell you this morning that when we conform to this world, we're going to experience some tragedy in this world. We're not going to be immune to the tragedy that comes to this world. So Naomi is going through this very difficult time because of the decision that her husband made. And let me say this morning. That's not a very popular thing to say in today's world time. You see, today's world, they like to hear this. Well, it don't matter. You'll be okay. It don't matter. You can do whatever you want. There ain't any consequences to that. It don't matter. You can go and break the law. They ain't going to arrest you or anything like that. Come on. Is that not what we're living in? That's exactly what we're living in. But can I tell you this morning that the world may not hold us responsible for our actions, but there is a God sitting on the throne on high that does. He holds me accountable for every decision I make. He holds you accountable for every decision you make. And it's good to know that.
Amen. Yeah.
That's a good thing to know. Because when you know that, and when you accept that, and when you realize that, do you know what this morning? It makes you realize how bad you need Jesus.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you right now, I can't stand before the Almighty God, but I can stand before the Almighty God washed in the precious blood of His Son. Hallelujah. I can stand before the Almighty God, standing in the forgiveness of God, standing in the grace of God, standing in the grace of His Son, the one who died on the cross for our sins. I can stand in that this morning.
Amen.
Conforming leads to tragedy. Physical, mental, spiritual tragedy can happen as a result of conforming. Feel sorry for Naomi here. Feel sorry for her two daughter-in-laws. Both experiencing, all three experiencing great tragedy. But then we get to verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. So she's wanting to leave Moab now. That she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. So she's living in Moab and she gets news back from Bethlehem that the famine is over. They've got food. They've got bread to eat. Can I tell you this morning, there's a lot of famines going on in a lot of different places in the world, but I'm thankful that we come to a church this morning that spiritually we're not going through a famine this morning.
Amen.
You look at what God is doing in people's life, and you look at what God, how God is touching people and healing people and things like that. I'm thankful this morning, bless God, that here at Liberty Fellowship Church, we're not experiencing a spiritual famine this morning. But God has poured out His grace and mercy from on high, and the Holy Spirit is living and dwelling in each and every one of us, bless God. That's a reason to praise God this morning.
Amen.
But Naomi got word that in Bethlehem, good things were going on. Listen, I hope in our community this morning that word is getting out that good things are going on in this church. But not only good things are going on in this church, but good things are going on in other churches as well. Listen, we're all on the same team this morning. I love this church. This is the church I attend. This is the church I come to. I love having my family here. This is the church that I'm associate pastor of. But I'll tell you right now, this ain't the only church I'm rooting for this morning. I'm rooting for every church. Every church that's proclaiming and preaching the word of God. I'm rooting for the church this morning. Not just our church, but I'm rooting for the church this morning. But I'm thankful, bless God, that we've got a church, we've got a God, we've got a Savior, and a Holy Spirit that's working through everybody. We can go to work, we can go to school, we can go to the retirement center, wherever, and we can brag on what God's doing here.
Amen.
Let the word spread. How do Lynn and Jimmy stay so busy in their carpentry? They don't have no commercials. They ain't got enough money for that. Nobody wants to see their ugly mugs on TV anyway. Love you, Jimmy. Just kidding. I can say that. Jimmy's known me since I came out of the womb. Okay? They don't even have a business card. Word of mouth. Good work. I'm sure Anthony gets business through word of mouth and things like that. Anybody that's got their own business here gets business through word of mouth and all that stuff. I'll tell you right now. Let's spread the word what God's doing in our church.
Amen.
Let's spread the word how God is moving in our church. And give God all the credit. Don't give Liberty Fellowship the credit. We don't deserve any of it. God deserves every bit of it.
Right.
Give God the credit. So the word is spreading. And so she says, has visited the people in giving them bread. Verse 7, wherefore she went forth out of the place. So she's leaving Moab where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to the land of Judah. So they are traveling back to Judah. They are traveling back to Bethlehem. Now, do you know what Bethlehem means in Hebrew? House of bread. Bethlehem in Hebrew means house of bread. And then I couldn't help but think about this. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And Jesus is the bread of life.
Amen.
Well, glory to God. Can I tell you this morning, bless God, when you got saved, you went to your spiritual Bethlehem. You went to the house of bread. And can I tell you right now, sometimes when you're at the house of bread, it may seem like that there's a famine going on and things like that. Your world may be getting turned upside down, and the devil will do everything that he can to get you to leave, to go back to Moab, to conform back to the world like Naomi's husband did. But can I tell you this morning, hallelujah, when you went to Bethlehem, when you visited the house of bread, when you visited the Lord Jesus Christ, and then when things things start turning upside down and the devil tries to get you to leave, just have some good old-fashioned staying power this morning.
Yeah.
Just say, no, Satan, I'm going to stay a little bit longer. Say, no, Satan, I'm going to spend the night, bless God. Have some staying power when it comes to Jesus this morning.
Amen.
Have some staying power when it comes to Jesus. But I love verses 6 through 7 because it sets the stage really for what happens throughout the book of Ruth. Ruth sees a way back to Bethlehem. Whoo! Can I tell you this morning, if you're living a life that's conformed to this world, there's a way back to Bethlehem.
Amen.
Can I tell you this morning, if you're living a life, you're saved, but you're living a life that's not really making God proud, and you're living a life that you're really not proud of. You see, God tells us to have staying power when it comes to those things which are good. Do those things which are good. Well, I want you to ask yourself this morning, and this is between you and God, it's not between me and you. How much good are you doing? Now, we know how much good you do doesn't get you to heaven. I understand that. I know it takes salvation through by the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a Christian this morning, how much good are you doing? How much witnessing are you doing? Stuff like that. Examine yourself this morning. But Naomi saw a way back. Just as the prodigal son saw a way back. If you're here this morning and you've conformed to this sin-cursed world, there's a way back. There's a way back to Bethlehem. If you're here and you're lost this morning and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, can I tell you this morning, bless God, there's a way for you to get to Bethlehem. There's a way for you to get to the house of bread. There's a way for you to get to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. There's a way for you to get there this morning.
There is.
Through and by the foot of the cross, hallelujah.
Right.
Going by the empty tomb, bless God. Hallelujah, there's a way to get there this morning. There is a way to get back. If you're watching online this morning and your church attendance has fallen, and I'm not talking about because of the snow and the ice or anything like that, but I'm talking about COVID come through and you've not really been back in church or anything like that, can I tell you this morning, bless God, there's a way back. There's a way back to God's house. There's a way back to God. There's a way back to Jesus. There's a way back to the Holy Spirit having complete control of your life this morning. Go back to Bethlehem. Go back to the house of bread. So what was the key ingredient in all this? You know, how can I have the staying power? Let's get into this. Verses 8 through 13. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-laws, "Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." In other words, Naomi's telling her two daughter-in-laws right here, go back home. Your husbands are dead. My sons are dead. Just go back home. There's no reason for you all to stay with me. I've lost everything. Just leave. Verse 9, "The Lord grant you that you may find rest." So she's wanting them to find rest. "Each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them and lifted up their voice and wept. So she says, go back to Moab and go find you some new husbands. There's no way you're going to be able to come with me to Bethlehem and marry because you're Moabites. You're not going to be able to marry Israelites or anything like that. That's not going to happen. That's not going to work out. So just go back to Moab and get you some other husbands. But we can see Naomi's love for her daughter-in-laws here. Why does it say in verse 9, she lifted up their voice and wept? How much she loves them. Verse 10, "And they said to her, surely we will return with thee and to thy people." They say, no, Naomi, we're going with you. We're sticking with you. We're going to have some staying power. We're staying with you. We're going where you go. Verse 11, "And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are they yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons." So Naomi says, I'm too old to have a husband. And if I did have a husband, there's not going to be, I ain't gonna have sons for a long time. It makes no sense for you all to stay with me. In verse 13, would you tarry for them till they were grown? You gonna wait till they grow up and marry them? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. That's the place that Naomi is in right here. She feels like the hand of God has gone out against her. And this all goes back to the decision that her husband made to leave Bethlehem. It all goes back to that because he didn't have any staying power, didn't want to stay through the famine or anything like that. In verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept. So they're both crying. Orpah and Ruth do two different things. Orpah returns home. Ruth stays. She clave on to Naomi. Why was Ruth able to have staying power when it came to Naomi and Orpah not? They both loved Naomi. It wasn't that Orpah didn't love Naomi or anything like that. But I think we could say this morning that Ruth loved Naomi even more. Unconditionally. To such a condition that she had a staying power when it came to Ruth. So what's the ingredient this morning? God's telling you this morning we need to have more staying power in our lives. We don't need to jump ship. We don't need to quit. We don't need to give up. We don't need to conform to this world. So how can I do that? It does you no good this morning if I tell you you need staying power, but I don't tell you how to do it. Well, here's how God tells us how to do it this morning. Look at this example of Ruth and look at this example of Naomi. How can we have some good old-fashioned staying power when it comes to our relationship with God? How can we have staying power when it comes to attending church regularly? How can we have staying power when it comes to praying and communicating and talking to God? How can we have staying power when it comes to reading our Bibles? How can we have staying power to coming back on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights? How can we have staying power to attending Sunday school? How can we have staying power in doing those things which are good through the eyes of God? How can we do that? The world's making it hard. The world don't make it easy to do that. How can we do that this morning? One word. It's what Ruth showed Naomi. Love. Love. Ruth claving to her. That was staying power. What does 1 Corinthians 13:8 say? Love never fails. I want to ask you something this morning. Why do you come to church? Why do you come to church this morning? The first thing that comes to my mind is this. I come to church because I love God.
Amen.
I come to church because I love you all. I come to church because I love what Jesus Christ has done for me. I come to church because I love my family. I bring my wife and kids to church because I love them this morning. In other words, the reason that I'm in church to stay is because I love it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if the question is, how can I stay in church? How can I remain faithful in church? Hallelujah. Just love it this morning. Your love for God should run so deep that you love coming out to His house to worship Him.
Amen.
And you might say, well, how can I pray like I want to? How can I read my Bible like I want to? And I'm sure there's all kinds of scripture that I could give you and things like that. And I know there's probably all kinds of books that's written about that and things like that. But the simplest way that I can give you through this example that God gives us is, do you love it? Do you love talking to God? Because I can assure you, if you love talking to God, you're going to talk to Him.
Amen.
Do you love reading your Bible? Because I can assure you this morning, if you love reading your Bible, there ain't nothing going to stop you from reading.
That's right.
This is a silly example, but I'm going to throw it out. I love Tennessee athletics. Everybody knows that. My whole day yesterday was planned around 2 o'clock. Because Tennessee came on at 2 o'clock. And when they do, from 2 to 4:15, I was pretty much a dead man. She was getting nothing out of me. Because that ball game was on. I wasn't going to miss it for nothing. I loved it. I wanted to have church bad, but Nick Kaulbach wasn't going to be here cleaning ice at 2 o'clock. The big orange was on. Because I love it. And I know that's a silly and I know that's a funny example. But I'm here to tell you this morning, we will spend time around things that we love this morning. So if you love God, you're going to spend time with God. Hallelujah. If you love Jesus this morning, you're going to spend time with Jesus. And not only spend time with Him, but have staying power when it comes to Him. Amen. You're going to cleave to Him. You're going to associate yourself with God. You're going to attach yourself to Jesus. You're going to cling to the Holy Spirit. You're going to combine with all three of them. And you're going to hold on and you're not going to quit. Hallelujah. Just as Ruth did with Naomi right here. Ruth wasn't leaving. Ruth wasn't letting go. Ruth was hanging on to Naomi. And if you read later on in the Bible, I didn't have this highlighted, but I'll read this. Let me find it. Verse 16, and Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whether thou go, I will go." Uh-huh. Ruth, where you're going? Naomi, where you're going, I'm going. Well, glory to God. God, where you're going, that's where I want to go. Amen. Jesus, where you're going, that's where I want to go. Holy Spirit, where you're leading me, bless God, that's where I want to go. Hallelujah. And where thou lodgest, where you stay, I will lodge. Yeah. Woo. Amen. I want to spend the night with Jesus, don't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We get to do it every single day of our lives. Why? Because He's living inside of us.
Amen.
Bless God this morning. But I can tell you right now, you don't fully enjoy it unless you love Him. I spend the night with my wife and kids every night. But if I don't love them, I ain't going to enjoy it. Just like having a guest in my house. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ is more than a guest in your house? Hallelujah. Sometimes we like to treat Jesus like He's a guest. Bless God, He ain't no guest in my house. He's the reason I got a house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's stop treating Jesus like a guest. I'm guilty. I've done this before. People come to church and I've done it. I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm an idiot from time to time. Say, God, I'd like to invite you in our house this morning. I'm going to tell you right now, if He ain't already here, He ain't here. It's His house. Ain't God invite Him. Ain't God invite Him. I will go where Thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and Thy God, my God. Woo! Ruth's a Moabite. They worship false gods. But she says right here, Naomi, the God that you worship, that's the God that I'm going to worship. Bless God this morning. Where thou diest, will I die. I'm going to die where you die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught be death, part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, staying power. Being steadfast is an example of having staying power. When, verse 18, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking into her. Ruth was not leaving Naomi's side. She had staying power. Hallelujah this morning. Let's not leave God's side.
Amen.
Let's not leave Jesus' side. Let's not abandon the Holy Spirit this morning. Those are all things the world is abandoning. Those are all things the church world is abandoning. Conforming and going to the world so they can draw in the bigger crowd. Bless God, the bigger crowd means nothing if God's gone. If you got to fill your life full of people to make yourself feel good, but God get kicked out along the way, you've lost it all. Young people, I want y'all to listen to this, and I want you to hear this with all my heart, soul, and mind. I was in high school almost 20 years ago. Man, that hurt. I was in high school almost 20 years ago. I know how easy it is to conform. Church ain't the cool thing. Youth group ain't the cool thing. Sunday school ain't the cool thing. Going to church ain't the cool thing. I get it. I understand that. But I want to tell you something right now. Those things that may not seem cool to the kids at school is setting you up for your eternity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You may lose friends here. You may lose opportunities here. You may miss out on parties here. But I can guarantee you one day, bless God, you're going to attend a party up in glory that's never going to end. Hallelujah. You ain't going to need to take anything to make yourself feel good. Hallelujah. Because you're going to be 100% perfect, bless God, in that new glorified body. Ruth had staying power when it came to Naomi. All because she loved her. Let's have staying power when it comes to attending church. Let's have staying power when it comes with our relationship with God. Let's have staying power when it comes to praying and reading our Bibles. Let's have staying power when it comes to having fellowship with one another. Let's have staying power when it comes to Jesus Christ and Him being more than just a guest in our home, but Him being the reason that we're alive and the reason that we can celebrate and the reason that we can worship and the way that we can have all that staying power is one key word, love, this morning. Amen. Love. The Bible says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's what it takes this morning. If you want to have staying power, that's what you need. And that's all you need. Because love never fails. Let's stand to your feet this morning. Becky, if you want to come and play something, I'd appreciate it. Les, you got a song, or Tom, or we don't have to do a song, whatever. Whatever's best. Tom's got one there. Before we sing a verse of this, I just want to ask you this morning, if you're here and you're lost, there's a way for you to get to Jesus this morning.
Amen.
And you can accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior, and you'll be on the road to glory. If you're here and you're a Christian, and you've conformed a little bit more to this world than you would like, you don't have staying power in certain places where you used to have staying power, and you want to come down and talk to God about it and just say, God, I love you. I'm sorry I've conformed here, and I'm sorry I've conformed there, but I'm just here to reaffirm that I love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. And I want that staying power back that comes through and by only loving you with all my heart, soul, mind. You can do that this morning. You see, we get this stuck in our hearts and our minds that the altar is only for the lost. It's not. It's for the saved too, folks. It's for each and every one of us. So if God's spoken to you this morning while we're singing this verse, I'm going to ask you to come on down this morning.
All right.